Welcome to Spiritually Naked, where physical and non-physical worlds collide, offering a refreshing concoction of optimism and realism. It's time to strip down the barriers of limiting beliefs, to master the art of manifestation and synchronized living. Everything you need to live an inspired, awakened life is within your grasp. Start creating the life you desire today with Spiritually Naked as your guide to simplifying complicated issues for real life change. Now here are your hosts, Steve and Stephanie Banks.
Hello everyone, thank you for joining us here today on Spiritually Naked. I am your host, Stephen Banks, and I'm here with my partner and co-host, Stephanie Banks, who in the second portion of our program will channel for us a collective consciousness named Solomon. But first I'd like to introduce to you our guest, Carolyn Coleridge, and she is a licensed psychotherapist, spiritual life coach, intuitive and energy healer. Carolyn has incorporated spiritual healing practices into her work as a psychotherapist, including teaching mindfulness meditation and energy awareness. Carolyn has been published in 3 books and recently published her own book, Honor Your Spirit. So welcome to the program, Carolyn. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, Carolyn. It's so nice to have you with us today. And I'm so intrigued and fascinated by the type of work that you do. We have a few things in common. One of them in particular is your energy work and how you manage to incorporate that into your profession. So I'm wondering if you could start out with just telling everyone what it is that you do and where your interests lie and why you're doing what you're doing.
Oh, okay. So I am a psychotherapist. I've been with for 20 years. And as I was studying at Columbia, I started to have a lot of spiritual experiences. I started to see ghosts and all these different strange phenomena were happening. And I also was very drained working in Manhattan, New York, and working with clients as a counselor and going up and down through the city. I would get drained very easily. So one of my managers says, why don't you get into energy? So I got into going to an energy circle to help myself to feel more calm and relaxed and to, you know, work with the energy. And then I was able to get more centered and had more energy. So I became an energy healer. I never used it for a long time because as a therapist, you're not supposed to touch clients. So I never did. And then one of my clients was really, really depressed in Manhattan and everyone was gone for the weekend for the long holiday. So she was saying she was suicidal. I didn't have backup for psychiatry. I didn't know what to do. So I sent her a symbol, not physically, but just intentionally. Like I didn't wave my hands. I just sent her a chakra ray, which is part of the Reiki healing system. And she started to feel calmer. She's like, wow, I feel calm. I feel good. What happened? And I said, I send you energy healing. She's like, wow, I feel like the sense of peace. So then she was able to contract with me and get into a safe space, and made a safety contract. And I realized I had to incorporate both. So I use energy healing privately, and I worked at UCLA as an energy healer for a long time. And all these opportunities have come to me as I decided to listen to my spirit and say, well, what do I need? Like when I was drained, I said, what do I really need? And I said, I need more energy. And I realized energy was really my spirit was drained because I wanted to help, but I didn't want to be exhausted. So as I listened to my spirit, I realized I started dialoguing with the universe, and I learned about the universal wisdom, and I realized that the universe is actually sending me on a path to help people and to help them to do better in life, to listen to their soul, to fulfill their mission, and to find their purpose. So that's why I really got into healing.
Wow, that's incredible. So when did that take place? When was that transition?
Well, 20 years ago when I was studying, I ended up, working at the Edgar Cayce Center as a reader on the side, but then I work at a clinic. So I was toggling back and forth between, like, I feel like the ego and the spirit, the physical plane and the spirit plane, the work, the physical work and the spiritual work, for many, 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 many years. And I was incorporated pretty much a lot later in my life, maybe when I came out to L.A., I felt called to come here, as a lot of light workers do, feel called to go different places. And I decided to take a leap and come out here. And with the law of attraction, I attracted opportunities and jobs. And I ended up working at various different places. But I found a Church Agape, which is a big spiritual community church. And I started doing energy healing there. And as I was working there, I met a woman that just bumped into them. And as you dialogue, I kept asking Anita Burns, what should I do? You know, where should I go? How should I incorporate this stuff? And you get signs, you get messages, you get synchronicities. And the synchronicities kept abounding. And then literally back to back, I said, should I be a healer? And I bumped into this woman. And she said, I said, what do you do? She said, I'm a therapist. And I'm a therapist. And we were working at a healing event. We were doing healing. And she said, oh, you should be a healer at UCLA. They're looking for healers. And I said, really? She goes, yeah, they're looking for a healer on the team. So she introduced me to this woman, Lonnie Seltzer, Dr. Seltzer. And I ended up working there at UCLA about maybe like at this point, like 8 years ago. And then I was a professional healer in a complementary alternative medicine team. So that's when I pretty much incorporated working there, but I was working there as a healer. And I've always done like a piece of coaching privately. I've done healing privately. I've been healing at the church, UCLA. And then I do readings privately. And then I also do therapy at clinics and incorporate spiritual principles in therapy too.
So I'm curious, Carolyn, when you say you do readings for people, that's different for different spiritual teachers. What kind of readings do you offer?
What kind of readings? Clairvoyant. So when I started to have all these paranormal experiences, basically I was seeing a lot of ghosts in my apartment in Manhattan. I didn't know what to do with them. So I began to, I went to a reader herself, and she said, oh, you're really intuitive. You're very psychic. You're supposed to be doing this work professionally. I said, oh, no way. I'm a therapist. And she goes, no, come to my group. And I said, no way. And then I kept getting haunted over and over again. And I met this healer, and she said, well, I can help you learn how to block the energy because you're opening it up to the spiritual world, reading books and doing little, you know, different things you're having, but you don't have any protection. I said, what's that? And she said, oh, you need protection. So she taught me how to protect myself. And then what happened is I was able to get the negative energies away. Like once you have a shield around you, a shield in your space, the darker, lower energies that are stuck on the earth plane don't want to come and feed off your energy because they think you're a light source. So I was able, so I studied with this woman, Celeste Mila, and then she taught me how to protect myself. And then I started to do readings myself. She goes, you really, and she helped me practice. And then I did some training at the Edgar Casey Institute in Manhattan. And then I also joined a spiritualist circle because I was intrigued by it. I was like, well, why did they come to me? And, you know, why is this information coming? So, and then I became a reader for the Edgar Casey Institute. And I would do, you know, readings privately. And I just started doing them slowly and slowly and slowly, you know, just on the side. And I was intrigued by how that was working. And then as I was working as a therapist, I started to see the people's auras. And I was starting to see lights and colors around them and all these weird experiences kept incorporating into my therapy. And I said, well, I have to do something with that. So that's why I did training to be more intuitive, because I need to get control of it, you know. And so I wasn't freaking people out. And then as I did it, I started to do readings on the side. And I'm clairvoyant, so I see visions. I'm very good at seeing people's life purpose and their path. And then clairaudient, I hear messages throughout a voice. And then also my spirit guide, I see him. And then clairsentient, of course, a lot of therapists are. It's very empathic. And then claircognizant, just to kind of know. So that's how I do readings. I hear. And occasionally I'll use cards, but I just get the information just clicks through my head and I work with people. And I've always incorporated God in my work because I think he's a divine teacher, you know.
Wow, that's fascinating. So when you say you're getting visions, I'm just curious because, I mean, I just love hearing about it, really. So when you're working with someone, what kind of, where's the information? Is it coming from their guides, or are you just tapping into kind of their energy field and kind of getting, drawing information from that?
I love how you say just.
Just.
Just tapping into the non-physical. While you're just doing that.
Yeah, it's a habit.
I do a combination. Let's see, like when I do, let's see, if I'm somebody sitting across from me, like I'm in my office right now, you know, I'll have them take 3D breaths. So what happens is that I incorporate spirit to spirit. So once the breath, of course, is where the spirit lies. So once I start communicating with their spirit, so then I'll get information from their breath about where they are in their life, what their spirit wants to say to me. And then when I see visions, it's usually, sometimes it looks like a movie, but also I'll see still. So kind of like if I asked you guys, what was your, you know, what does your front door look like? You see it in your mind's eye. So that's how I see, I'll see like pictures, and I'll see them like getting married, or I'll see them, you know, packing their, you know, their office, knowing that they're going to be fired or leaving, and I'll get visions, and I'll also incorporate their guides and, you know, God source and angels, and I'll get these sometimes a stream of consciousness of information. It's almost I'm listening to like a different radio frequency. So I incorporate those differently, and sometimes the visions are just in front of them. Like I'll see their aura just will pop out a certain color, and I'll say, okay, you need to work on your heart chakra, or I'll see, you know, colors go on the top of their head. So that would be physical. But when I'm deeper into readings, meaning that if I'm doing like an event and it's back to back to back, I tend to hear the voice a little bit more and tend to see the colors more. If I'm toggling between my clinical work and this work, it kind of shifts a little to more of the mind, because it's like two different worlds, you know? But that's usually how I see them. It's almost like working with your mind's eye and just getting trained to believe that these are visions that are seeing. Occasionally they'll say, well, what are my guides? And then their guides will come through and I'll start seeing what their guides look like. Or one particular person, a lot of times more so than not, I'll get ancestors. I'll get people who've crossed over. So I am a medium. That's been coming on a lot stronger, but I've been getting a lot of deceased relatives. In fact, when I wrote my book, most of the stories are about relatives coming through that are helping them to heal. So it's very interesting. Like a neighbor came through with this one guy who was a musician, and he said, oh, he's a really good musician, tell him to play. We used to play in the neighborhood jam, and he's like, oh my God, that's Jerry, you know. So I wrote about him. So a lot of times I'll have family members too.
And it's so healing. It's just so healing for people to have mm-hmm. that experience, especially if they're coming in with not a whole lot of or if any expectations about actually connecting to someone who's passed away. So it's like this amazing pleasant surprise to all of a sudden receive a message from a loved one who's passed on.
Yes, definitely. But it kind of makes sense because I was always seeing ghosts. So that would be a big part of the work I do. And a lot of times, because some people just, you know, call themselves particularly mediums, and that's all they do. So my mediumship seems to open up when people want to heal, like if you need to move forward, and then the person will come through. Though I was doing healing the other day, and all of a sudden I thought, well, that's the same thing. I saw her mother. I said, your mother, and she ran out of the room. And I told her she was wearing pajamas, and she was, oh my God, that's my mother. And her mother had died early, like at 12 for her, so that was a deep wound that she didn't have. So somehow these shadows will appear. And they're in the corner of my eye, the periphery. I'll see outlines of them, or they'll give me. Just the other day, I was at a restaurant, and one of my friends, which I never really read for friends, and this is a weird experience. I said, "Why am I feeling your mother really strongly?" And then she was saying all this stuff really quickly, and it was her mother's favorite song was on. The band was playing. And she said 2 days ago, she just asked her mother to help her with the situation. And then it was, I said, your mother's saying it's her anniversary, and it was December, 20th? And her mother died December 3rd, like 10 years ago. So she said her anniversary had just come up. So then I channeled all this information from her mother, you know, in a restaurant, which is very bizarre.
Well, you never know where it's going to come from or
that's,
when.
That's where things are going too, right?
So yeah. you just got to stop and
let it out.
One of the best channeled messages I've ever received was in the parking lot at Starbucks while waiting for my crew to come out.
it comes when it comes. So Carolyn, I just wanted to ask you about your book, Honoring Your Spirit, or Honor Your Spirit. You had mentioned that it was stories. I mean, I didn't have the opportunity to read it, but you'd mentioned that stories of connections with lost loved ones. So the way that you laid out the book was a series of stories?
Yeah, it's a series of stories. It's really about my path. Honor your spirit, like listen to your intuition and walk your path. Find your, you know, purpose and walk your path. And how I listen to the universe, really. And I feel like as I listen to the universe, I'm fulfilling my mission, I'm clearing my karma. So I feel like people need to listen to that, the subtle whispers and, you know, the little things that happen. So, and what happened is that I was at a job and you asked me, how do I incorporate spirituality and healing and therapy? And it was a conservative clinic. And you always, and your spiritual path to me is like Dorothy walking in the Wizard of Oz. You always incorporate the Wicked Witch. Like, we all have, you know, the path, so to speak. We all have looking for different qualities, like thought, like courage and a brain, or, you know, cognitive stuff, like different things. Love, we, you know, we're always looking for stuff like that on the path. And those are like the symbols in the Wizard of Oz. And I have this woman, I call her, she's like the Wicked Witch. She was really mean to me. And at a clinic I worked at, and it's funny because she said, oh, you're intuitive, I've heard, and I'm intuitive too. But she was actually a dark lord, meaning somebody who was competitive and jealous. And she was manipulating clients, and clients were doing pretty badly. Like, even one of my clients, I hate to say it, ended up suiciding after she met with her behind my back. Just, there's always people like that on the path. So she was kind of challenging my spiritual work, and I didn't like what she was doing. She set me up and all this other stuff, and she didn't want me there. Later I found out she was working with dark energy. Like, she did spells and other dark stuff. She was wanting to be the power and control. So she didn't like my energy because I had too much light. So I wrote about that in the book because I was saying everyone, there's triumphs and tragedies in your path. So what happens is she ended up pushing me out of the clinic. So I didn't have a job. I ended up getting sick. Before that, I had a really big tumor, and it was a bloody tumor, and I didn't have health insurance, and I was being pushed out of my job. And that's what happens when people get on their path. It's like everything was going wrong, and I didn't understand why. And I was 36, and I remember I'd asked 10 years prior, when I found an old journal at 26, I said, in 10 years, I'm going to work for myself. So it's like almost the universe heard me and like kept me up with my what my request. So I ended up leaving the job, and I didn't know what to do. And she was really maligning me and saying all this other stuff. So I just asked, and I heard this voice that said, why don't you work for me? And I was like, who's that?
Maybe I will.
Why don't you work for me? And I said to my friend, did you hear that? She said, you're losing your mind. I'm helping you pack. No, I didn't hear anything. And it was in my head, but it was all around. And I realized it was, of course, you know, the voice of the divine. It was my creator, God. And I was like, I have no job, I have no this. What else am I supposed to do? And I said, okay, fine. And he says, the work is steady, the pay is good, and the retirement benefits are out of this world. Sign me up. You know, sign me up. And then what happened after that, I'm like, well, how am I supposed to do it? And I wanted to work with the universe. I wanted to know. I said, well, how do I do this? And the voice was like answering me in just one word, you know, it was an impression and also a question, but also a knowing. I said, well, honor your spirit. That's all you're supposed to do. And I'm like, okay. So that's the name of the book. So I was like, honor your spirit. So I just started asking. I said, well, what am I supposed to do, you know? And then how am I supposed to do this? And then that's what happened was a story. I was doing a healing and volunteering at Agape, my church, a spiritual church. The guy in The Secret, Michael Beck, was is head of that church. And I met this woman who then got me hired at UCLA as a healer. And then I kept asking. And then all of a sudden, people just start calling me out of the blue for readings. Well, I heard you did a reading. Oh, I'm calling from New York. You did a reading there. Well, I met you at the Edgar Cayce Institute. And I made $1,500 that month. And I'm like, wow, this is weird. And then I had a part-time job on the weekend working in a medical center. And I had $600 loans. I had all this other, you know, a car note, $300. How am I going to pay it? So I kept asking. I said, God, if you want me to work for me, you know, you got to give me money and income. And I was down to like $20 because I'd used all my, the 100 hours of vacation time I had used already to pay my rent and other stuff. And I was telling my friend, this is crazy. I know what's going to happen. This is so mad. You know, the Wicked Witch got rid of me, blah, blah, blah. And I said, look, I have $20. And she said, you have $5,020. And I looked at my debit card receipt, and $5,000 were granted to me. I never knew how that money got in there.
Wow.
But it's helped my business. I know. It helped my business for years. Get started and everything, and ever since then it's always been, you know, synchronicity, signs and messages and stuff like that has happened, as long as you ask in dialogue. And I pay two rents, and my rents are $2,500. I'm in my office now, and every month it gets paid. I don't know how, but I didn't have a full-time job for those 10 years. I worked on call in the medical center. So she pushed me out of my job at the clinic where I was doing very well, where my score was a 94 from patient satisfaction. And then 12 years later, my score is a 93. So nothing has changed. I'm still a good therapist. And then what happened is I was working at I ended up getting a part-time job just on the weekends working in a medical setting as a medical social worker, which I hated because it was draining and I didn't like the medical system. But I realized God had a plan, because as a healer, I learned about the body. I learned about medicine. I learned about doctors. I learned about how healthcare can help and hurt people and all these different things. So I realized God had a plan for me. And then they started using me during the week. So I was working as a medical social worker. I was understanding how to be a better healer. And then I worked. And then because it was on call, UCLA wanted me to be there every day at Wednesdays at 9, at 3 o'clock, I'm sorry, 12. So I can't do a full-time job when you're working part-time on the weekend. So I ended up working just on call. So I worked on call for 10 years. And I don't know how I paid my rent and everything else. 10 years, but just dialoguing with the universe. I feel like that's what my book is really about, like how my office appeared, how this happened, how I got $5,000 in my account, how people, I was on the Conscious Life Expo, people put me on, you know, panels. And I talk about how I work with my client, my book, how I work with my clients, and how I help them to kind of dialogue, how I help them to clear their blocks, how I help them to listen to their intuition and fulfill their purpose and their passion.
Right, exactly. And that's exactly what it's all about. I'm sorry, guys, we're out of time for this portion of the program.
Already?
Yeah, but Carolyn, if you'd like to share with our audience where they can find your services and your book, please go ahead.
Oh, no problem. It's on Amazon, Honor Your Spirit. And I'm going to have a free, a discounted ebook coming out, a really short book, the How to Dialogue with the Universe, the workbook. And my website's www.intuitivesoulhealing.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone. Stay tuned, and we'll be back with Carolyn and Solomon.
It is our pleasure to be here with you in this time and your space as you begin the next year of 2017. We're here to congratulate you on another year passed, on more movement toward your collective agreement to begin to bring more light, more momentum to your planet. We would like to express to you our gratitude for allowing us to partake in these exchanges, for allowing us to become part of your experience in a grander, more affectionate manner. We bring to you our love, our sincerity. We bring to you your passions that sometimes you lose track of, as a reminder that you are creative, imaginative beings who are here to define your purpose of who you really are. And to do this, oftentimes you need to, perhaps if you wish to, we never ever want you to think for an instant that we are here to tell you what to do. We are here to merely make suggestions that perhaps might lead you down the path of greater desiredness, if that is a word. We are here to remind you of your creative potential as a human being, yet an energetic being, one that is connected to all creation, one that has the ability to create a reality that you desire. This is within your power. This is who you are. But oftentimes you lose track of this idea as you become overwhelmed with the day-to-day tasks and challenges of being a human being. We enjoy these exchanges. We enjoy listening to those you bring onto the show who are bringing to the world their own expertise, their own gifts, their own curiosities, their own creative potentials. And it is our pleasure today to be here with you to discuss the idea of bringing those around you a little bit closer to their authentic beings. Yes?
Absolutely.
We would like to invite you at this time to bring forth your questions and queries, and we will do our best to appease your curiosity.
Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Solomon. It's always a pleasure. Carolyn, feel free, go ahead if you have any questions you'd like to ask.
Oh, what about my guides? You said I didn't connect to my guides, like who they are?
You have an abundance of guides. They are constantly coming and going. For many of you, you choose to live your lifetime with one or two guides that are there to be dominant, let's say, in your experience with the non-physical realm. In your particular case, you have recommended to your higher self that you stray slightly from your original plan of having one or two guides, as we just mentioned, to having an array of guides, allowing you to express yourself to those around you from a broader perspective, if this makes sense. Therefore, you do not per se have one particular guide that you draw upon more than the next, although you seem to think that you do. You are an example of a human being that has the ability to tap into thousands upon thousands of guides at one time. This can be and often is overwhelming to somebody sensitive, such as yourself. Therefore, from the non-physical, your guides will conglomerate into the aspect of seeming to be one. Is this making sense?
Yes, I think so. Mm-hmm.
What we are saying here is that through your experience of your chosen profession at this time, you found from a soul level that you would be more capable of aiding and assisting those around you if you were to relinquish the close ties of any particular guide. In other words, expanding your horizons, broadening your connections to the non-physical, to allow for more beings to come into your vision, into your perceptual awareness, for the purpose of helping those around you connect to their guides. In other words, their guides become your guides. Does this make sense?
Yes, yeah, totally. From collective consciousness, anyway. So years ago, there was I was sitting in the park, and this consciousness came to me, so they were going to help me with my book, and I thought it was one, but it was several. Do you see the connection with that, those beings? I don't, every once in a while when the light blinks, I think of them, because the light blank out after that.
That particular experience was the framework for the direction in which you were choosing to go. The beings that came to you in that experience were, let's say, in the tens of thousands of souls being represented into one voice. This is the extent to which you have asked the universe to support you on your journey, with an abundance of creative beings, each playing a significant role in the direction in which you are headed, in the direction that you are on now, on your course, on your path, be it writing, be it speaking, being healing. So this voice that you heard, yes, came through as one specific voice, yet it was a conglomeration of many, many, many beyond what you could possibly imagine now coming to you as an example of what you can become, of your expanded potential. This is why the voice seemed so big, so expansive, so magnetic. Yes?
Yeah, it was one, I think, and they said of 17. But I didn't think it went beyond that. It went beyond that?
Much beyond that, yes.
Oh, uh-huh.
The human brain will limit, in many ways, will limit what you are actually experiencing from a vibratory level.
Interesting. Will they come back in that consciousness?
They are back in that consciousness all the time, representing themselves to you, through you. Depending on how you are aligning with that frequency will determine how you are experiencing the presence of it. In other words, there may be times that you are unaware of the presence of those beings, but that does not diminish the value that you are gaining from that connection, from a different level, from a higher level, from a less human level.
Oh, I understand, yes. So And did they said they were going to help me with my book. So are they helping me with my book, this group, and do you feel the book will do well?
They are always helping you. They are always helping you because you are always asking for their help. There will always be a baseline, let's say, of supported efforts from the universe. Yet the more you ask, the more you receive. This is an old saying that goes back in the evolution of human history. Yet there is profound truth to this statement. Yes, you have felt and experienced this yourself. Therefore, the more you ask, the more the universe, the more your guides, the more these beings will feel that it is okay to help, to support, to a greater degree. So yes, they are always there supporting you. They are always there guiding you toward your higher self, which is bringing to you all that you need to make your book successful. You just need to stay in tune and in an alignment with the idea of abundance and success, however you may define that. We cannot possibly tell you right now where your book is going to be on the bestseller list in 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, 2 decades from now. Because moment to moment to moment, your vibration is shifting and changing. We can read your vibration today, right now, and what we see in that vibration is an abundance of all that you need. But this is because you are on that track. You are tuned into that frequency. You are staying in tune and in touch with that part of you that is connected to Source Creation, where all potentials become a reality. The stumbling block for many of you is, as you know, your own fears and doubts and the questioning of it. The simple questioning of it, will my book become a success, instantly creates the idea that there's a potential that it won't. Do you see what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
So the less you question the idea of success and the more you simply believe that abundance is there with you, coming through you constantly, all the time, no exception to the rule, the more you will experience abundance. The more you believe and are passionate about what you're doing, what you're sharing, what you're discussing, what you're learning, what you're immersing yourself in, the more passionate you are about life, the more abundance will come your way.
Yes, it's interesting about, that makes a lot of sense, the vibrational frequency match, is that when I was sitting in the park that time, they came to me and they asked me to write a book, to write all my newsletters into a book. And I thought that was weird because as I was sitting there, I was going back and forth. I didn't realize I was talking to someone until a little bit later. I'm like, who is in my head talking to me?
The reason for this is because the vibration happens before the thought. But mm-hmm. as a human being, it requires a certain amount of retraining, which from a, let's say, spirituality vibrational match 101 course, we would suggest for those of you who are just beginning to dabble in this, to begin by thinking your way into it, but then removing yourself from the thought and immersing yourself in the feeling state of whatever it is that you're choosing to think about. So when we talk about your day, that experience you had with this conglomerate group, although you think that they came to you, you called upon them to come to you. You called upon their guidance, their support, their wisdom from a vibrational level, which then seemed to you as though they just appeared. But we are here to tell you that even in this exchange between us now, you were a participant in bringing this into fruition. From a vibratory level. And this, my dear, is your strongest ally in this lifetime. Oftentimes, the things that you are bringing into fruition, you are not thinking yourself into. You feel as though they are happening, without a logical explanation. The logical explanation from a spiritual level is that they are because you know on a deep core level that you are in control of the manifestation of your reality. Yes?
Yes.
This is your greatest gift to not only yourself, but those around you. This is your definitive path of exploration and defines the different avenues that you will take to express this idea that your connection to your higher self trumps all. Yes?
Mm-hmm. Right. We're experiencing what we think and feel all the time.
We are experiencing more of what we feel than what we think. But when it comes to retraining the brain, retraining the human condition, oftentimes the first step to learning how to feel is to learn how to think the feeling thoughts. In other words, thinking yourself into the feeling of something. What does it feel like to be sitting on the beach in the warmth? That will oftentimes start with the thoughts, the words, the beach, the ocean, the waves, the breeze, the wind, the heat of the sun, which then evokes a feeling, yes? The feeling of warmth, the feeling of the wind, the feeling of being in that situation. It is in that state that we manifest our reality. So human beings will get to the state of not needing to think themselves into this feeling. They can bypass that step and be in the feeling and oftentimes not even realizing that they're there. This is what we're saying that you do on a regular basis. You feel yourself in a situation without even being consciously aware that you are there, i.e. the experience on the bench. You were there before you realized you were there. This boils down to pure and utter trust and faith in the universe and the support that is offered from the universe that really is a direct representation of your soul, of your spirit, of your higher self. This is a remarkable accomplishment, and we would like you to realize this. We would like you to really feel what we are saying here. This is why you
were... I was meditating, actually. I walked around and I started meditating, and then I realized the tree was talking to me. I realized it wasn't the tree, it was energy from the tree, and I realized it was energy from the tree, and where are these beings, and they were in my head, and we had a long dialogue before I were. So the meditation, I think, maybe rose my frequency.
But they are not really in your head.
Mm-hmm.
They are not really in your head, they are in your heart. Being translated through the brain as words.
That's interesting. Because it felt like the energy was coming off the tree, literally. But
yes, literally.
That makes sense, because in my book, I don't know if you've seen the cover of my book, there's a golden harp with a white dove. And the reason why I put the golden dove is because of, you know, the spirit lies in your heart, and that's your soul mind. So is that what you're kind of saying?
Yes, to a certain degree. We were saying that when you experience the idea of other beings from the unseen world, from the non-physical world, experiencing those in your head, quote unquote, in your head, they're not really in your head. And we are simply making this distinction because there is a certain thought pattern on your planet, in the world, that when you're hearing voices in your head, it makes you crazy. We are here to remind you that these are not voices in your head. This is a connection to source creation where there's an abundance of knowledge, an abundance of wisdom, an abundance of insight into who you are and why you are here. And that when you begin to listen with your heart, not with your head, you will feel and experience life beyond that of a human being. It will be perhaps manifested into words, into thoughts, that seem as though these words are in your head, but they're originating in the heart-based center of the human being.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, what I was saying about the cover of my book, I think that's why I was led to put the Golden Heart on my book. And I've read about the Golden Heart, which is really helping people's soul mind to go into their heart. I mean, I'm at the first stages of it, of people just seeing that and realizing to think about their heart first. But when God spoke to me, it was in my head, but it was all around. It was like everything was God. Everything was, it's hard to explain, like every, like the voice was in my head, but all around the room too.
Yes, because it is, yes, pretty much, yes. The translation is coming through the heart into the physical brain, being translated into words that are audible for you to see, hear, experience. But the feeling of that is really what we're drawing upon here. The feeling of that connection to divine, to God creation, to the trees, to the energetic force that is all around you, within you, through you all the time. This is what you're tapping into. This is what you're hearing and experiencing, let's say, from the trees. And it is not so crazy to think that the trees were talking to you. The trees are always talking to you. The birds are always talking to you. The animals are talking to you. We are talking to you, but you just all have a tendency to ignore all that.
What are your suggestions, Solomon, how you can activate that level of consciousness that you're hearing all these beautiful voices all the time?
By being still, by being in the receptive mode. To be in the receptive mode, there must be some sort of faith and trust that what you are about to hear and experience and feel is real. It doesn't need to be much, but just a little bit, enough to bring you into the place of curiosity, where one decides to sit down and listen, to be in peace, to be in nature, to be quiet in the mind, to hear from a different level, to hear through the heart, to hear through the feeling state, to listen to the universe, to watch for the signs and symbols that will lead you down the right path, that will open up doors that you didn't even know existed, that will draw you closer to somebody that will then guide you in a direction that is suited for you. The universe is there to support. Your guides are there to support. Your higher being is the director of this play.
Solomon, were you on the Earth planet at all, ever?
Yes. Yes. Many of us have been. Not all, but the majority of us have been. Therefore, we understand the trials of being a human being. We understand the challenges. We understand what you call blockages. We understand what you call hindrances and obstacles. You have asked us to partake in your human experience to bring to you the reminders that will allow you to look at life just a little bit differently, to change your perception, to not look at things as obstacles so much as we would suggest changing your perception around life in so many different ways and experiencing how that change of perception plays out. Play around with these ideas, test these ideas, experiment with these ideas. What does it feel like? What does it look like to transform a situation from being limiting to being one of expansion? And how do you do that? These are the tools that we offer. These are the techniques that you are requesting at this time of transformation as human beings in this time and space that you're currently living in. The human being as a whole is increasing in momentum, although there are places on your planet that seem to be moving in the opposite direction. But when you take the entirety of your collective experience, you will see that the scales have tipped. That as a collective community, you are moving more in the direction of light. You're moving away from the idea of darkness. But you will still experience the dark aspects of life as a human being. And we can relate to this. We have been there. We have been killed. We have killed. We have been hurt. We have hurt others. We have loved and been passionate as a human being. This is why we have this connection. This is why we have this trust in one another.
can you say where exactly you were on the Earth plane, or what any interesting bodies you brought to?
As we speak to you right now, you are in essence speaking with, at this particular moment in time, just under 1,000 beings.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Just under 1,000 beings. 983 to be exact. Fluctuating in every second. Fluctuating in every second. So the experiences that have been had are endless. What we are here to focus on is your experience. Your experience in this lifetime as a healer, as an individual sharing your experiences with others, as a teacher, as a student. We are here to remind you of your personal abilities and capabilities, of your will and determination to spread the word, to allow others to tap into their thousands of beings that are there to support and guide them. We are here to share with all of you the ample opportunities that lie ahead based on your ability, your will and want to connect with a divine being, to connect with the divinity of who you are, to connect with source creation, to connect with all that is, understanding that within that alignment, within that connection, all your answers will be found. There will come a time when these exchanges won't seem so odd, won't seem so different. They will become part of the regular experience of a human being. There will be a lot of people wandering around seemingly talking to themselves.
I like that idea.
Yes.
So there'll also be a lot more eavesdropping then, I suppose.
There already is plenty of eavesdropping.
Yeah, I suppose there is.
Yes. As an energy worker on this planet, you will find that over the next few years in particular, your abilities to build upon what you have already established will be amplified, will be magnified, will grow and expand to degrees that you may, from a human level, have a difficult time keeping up with. In other words, as the momentum on the planet increases, your personal momentum is contributing to that and is increasing tenfold from moment to moment to moment to moment.
And that's for all humans?
Or are you not necessarily all humans. We are specifically talking at this point in time to Carolyn.
Okay.
We feel
that my ability as a healer will increase, and
yes. Yes.
As an energy healer. Mm-hmm. Yes. Will I be able to, when I'm doing work and teaching, will I be able to tap into those beings that came to me? I call it the collective 17th. The same way that Stephanie is?
You already are, just on a different level. Just on a different level of understanding, a different level of being consciously aware. You are at the point where you feel as though you need to know and see and experience this collective 17, as you call them. But from a deeper, inner, innate level, that is the connection you are working with in every moment that you are with a client, in every moment that you are teaching, in every moment that you are learning, in every moment that you are existing. You have an agreement with this group to be there supporting one another, not just them supporting you, but you supporting them. This is a reciprocal relationship. So if you would like more proof, if you would like more visual, if you would like more audio from this group, then continue to ask. Continue to put it out there to them that you would like to have more of a sensory experience with them. But we are here to tell you that you, as a healer, do not need that. You're doing just fine the way it is. You are tapping into that. You are connected. You are in alignment with that group every moment of your existence. This is your agreement until you choose to change it.
Yeah. When I speak publicly, I can tell there's other people around, their energies, and that's fine. I was just curious. I'm fine with how it's done. I actually feel more comfortable that way.
Go ahead, Solomon.
We would just like to end on this note to say that for you to maximize the potential of your healing ability, we would suggest going with the flow. We would suggest allowing this to just happen the way it is. This is how you have chosen it. This is how you have it designed with your higher self and with those beings around you. The other is simply the ego speaking, saying, I would like to know. But from an innate soul level, you already know. So we would like to thank you for this opportunity to speak with you today. We would like to thank you for allowing us to partake in your creation of being a human energetic being. And we look forward to our next exchange.
Thank you, Solomon.
Thank you.
Wow, that was very interesting. Welcome back, Steph.
Hi.
So was there any, I felt like maybe you got some real, you felt some real reassurance there within yourself, Carolyn, like perhaps even, maybe expanded a little bit. It felt to me like you were expanding a little bit, whether it was just accepting or if it was a new perspective, I'm not sure.
Yeah, it kind of reminds me of Abraham Hicks a little bit. But it definitely shifted my awareness of, it reminded me of experiences I've had where I was like that experience. And then when I had a near death and everything was energy, and it was all like one voice, felt like God, but that we're all kind of shifting. So it helped me to think a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I felt that happening actually. It's very interesting when that happens. So, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I like information. Go ahead, sorry.
No, go ahead, Carolyn.
No, I like the information about intentions and how everything is kind of already done and the energy you put out there, like worrying and all that, is just creating more of that and just knowing that whatever is there will be there and having that strong feeling about it, that is very powerful for me. Because I think it's important to kind of know that and teach that with others too. You have to hold that energy to teach other people.
Right.
I'm just curious if they had any, information. How did you get into channeling that way?
Well, long and short, I was on my mountain bike. I smashed into a rock wall. I had a near-death experience, and then I had a very open connection to the non-physical realm.
Oh my God.
It's,
wow.
Yeah, it happened overnight, quite literally.
Yeah. Wow.
But not recommended to anyone listening out there. I recommend just taking the short, the slower route and practicing these things. We're here to share with everyone the abilities that you have without having to go through all of that.
That's right.
But it happens to all of us differently. And for me, it was basically becoming in touch with the other side through a mountain biking accident. And I do write about it in my book, A Soulful Awakening, for anyone who's interested. But really the whole purpose of this show, of speaking with people such as yourself, of the talks and lectures that we give and the workshops, is to encourage people to find their own connection, which I think is the premise for life.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's so true. Just like you were saying, Carolyn, and like Solomon was saying, we just really have to have faith in our abilities and feel, well, let go of the thought processes regarding doubt and just feel how we want to feel about it. Feel as though it's happening the way we want it to happen, and it does. But we're out of time for today, Carolyn. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. It was a pleasure.
Well, thank you again, Carolyn, and to all our listeners. Tune in 2 weeks from today as we will have with us another amazing guest, TJ Woodward. For those of you who would like to learn more about Stephanie and Solomon, or to receive your own private or group Solomon session, please go to our website at stephanie-banks.com. And don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel at solomonlive.com. Thanks again, everyone, and have a fantastic week.